Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doty Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Doty Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Doty.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And good afternoon for my friends international. It is Saturday, March 4th, 2023. The Don Doty Show is live. I want to thank you very much for joining me. I strongly suggest that you take a quick glance at the synopsis for tonight's show because, I think the shows are going to start going into a little bit of a retro type format, basically calling out, some of these companies a little bit more on their bullshit and start, no clickbait, never any clickbait, but, you got to call things the way you see them. And sometimes you try to be a little bit nice about it, but, there's definitely times that we really need to address it. In no particular order, I got to share something with you just to show you how the politics work. How many of you out there watch On Patrol Live? All right, this is a show that is on Reels, and I have never hid my fandomhood for Live PD when it was on the air. It did get pulled after the George Floyd tragedy. Just the civil unrest and just a lot of the hatred towards police and, the issues with police as well. There's bad cops, there's bad in everything that we do. But it really caused a major issue as far as even just traveling with police officers. I mean, police officers were targeted. I mean, it was just... And a lot of dirty cops, got exposed, even the ones that were being protected for years and years and years. So, look, Live PD was off the air for a very long time. On Patrol Live came back earlier in the year, debuted on Reels, and has done insane numbers. And, I want to make this clear. If you saw the reports about Reels going to Paramount, and because WWE is on Paramount, MLW can't be on Paramount. And if you know all that this week, let me explain something. All right. We got to call shit at face value. All right. We are finding out now that the deal for MLW to be on Reels was for 10 weeks. That's it. 2.5 months. I mean, it's like as soon as you get to know MLW, it's, hi, we must be going. Here's the truth serum, okay? When you see Variety talking about this controversy with MLW, no, they didn't. They are actually talking about Live PD. When you see PW Insider, talking about, MLW, and you see a quote given to them from Reels, just remember the relationship between Court Bauer and Mike Johnson going back to the early 2000s. I witnessed it live and personal because those motherfuckers, I have nothing against them now. I actually like Mike Johnson now, and Court Bauer I have no issue with. But, 20 years ago, a little bit of fondling under the table was going on. Maybe not physically, but, we don't need to rehash that. But here's the deal, okay? Live PD has done so good for Reels is that they are having their linear channel and it's going to be added to Peacock. All right. Now they have a linear channel. I've had it forever because I thought I could watch live On Patrol Live on the secondary channel. I realized that if I want to watch it live Fridays and Saturdays, I had to subscribe to a new subscription service. I pay $35 a month for Philo TV just to watch On Patrol Live. No joke. So now, in the last couple of days, Reels issues a press release. Variety talks about it. And it's a deal where some of Reels' programming is being on brought to Paramount. And On Patrol Live will be available on Paramount 24 hours after the live episode. Now, that's a big deal, because now, as long as you don't mind watching the show one day late, you could cancel your Philo subscription. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that are tuning in right now that do pay Philo $30+ a month just to watch On Patrol Live. So now, how does this intertwine with MLW? Okay. I want to read you quickly a press release or an article that Variety put out about Reels and their relationship with Paramount, because WWE is mentioned, MLW is mentioned. But I want you to just listen to the details and how much of it is focused on Patrol Live. And look, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about Sonya Deville's arrest. Some details that you haven't read anywhere, a little tidbit that nobody picked up on, and I will explain to you why that tidbit will probably result in Sonya Deville getting this reduced to a ticket, paying a fine, done with. I'll explain all the details. And how she could have had that gun in Jersey and not get arrested over it. Little tidbit. I promise you, it's not clickbait. When I get into it later, you can be like, wow, I didn't even think about that. Watch. So anyway, talking about Reels, all right, and coming to Paramount. Reels, the small independent cable network behind the live police department series On Patrol Live, has landed distribution on Peacock. Reels' linear feed will be available to Peacock Premium and Peacock Premium Plus subscribers starting March 1st. Now, so I'll probably cancel my Philo subscription after tonight. Some Reels library content, including next day episodes of On Patrol Live, will be available on demand on Peacock. The programming also includes On Patrol First Shift, Jail, Cops, Autopsy, The Last Hours Of, and more. The deal means Peacock subscribers will be able to stream On Patrol Live on Peacock as it airs on Reels. Oh, you can watch it on Peacock Friday and Saturday at 9 o'clock. Even better. Okay. Now, they go on to tout the success of On Patrol Live. Okay. They talk about the host. They talk about, you know, everything else. Now, let's get into the WWE aspect of this and the MLW aspect of it. Okay. Peacock is also the exclusive streaming provider of WWE wrestling. Because of that category exclusivity, when Reels airs Major League Wrestling live on Tuesdays at 10 p.m., that linear channel will not be available on the platform during that time. So in simple English, when you go to Peacock and you see Reels, that will disappear. It will be unavailable for viewing between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Tuesdays. But check out this last line, the very end of this article. Its linear channel won't be available on the platform during that time, but Major League Wrestling wraps up after 10 weeks, making Reels' Tuesday 10 p.m. linear offerings available after that. This deal that MLW inked with Reels was for 2.5 months. That's it. That's it. 10 weeks. Remember last week we talked about how those numbers were expected to nosedive? Got news for you. Look, to be fair, Mike Johnson got this statement from Reels, which actually Reels gave it to MLW, and they're distributing it out. No decisions have been made by MLW or Reels, and we are both committed to a good outcome for MLW, its fans, and Reels. Okay, a good outcome. Don't you think the term good outcome should have to do with the court case against WWE? By the way, remember, it was February 13th that the court ruled in favor of WWE. It was February 13th where the court told MLW, you have 21 days to appeal. Guess what? 21 days happens. Oh, I'd say within, what, a day or two? So in about 2 or 3 days, I don't think the court is going to give them an extension. You know, when you appeal something, you appeal a parking ticket, you appeal a court case. If you're, you know, Richie Cunningham, that fucking lawyer that just got arrested and convicted and, you know, found guilty of killing his wife and his son. Yeah, we didn't talk about him on these shows. Maybe tomorrow, depending on what you want me to do tomorrow, because we have a little bit of a question for you to think about during the show. Should we do a regular episode of The Sit Down tomorrow night, or should we recap AEW Revolution? I kind of am leaning towards doing a sit down episode, to be honest. But anyway, so check this out. MLW got 10 episodes on Reels, okay? Their ratings have gone down 50%. Last week's rating was only about 50,000 viewers. I could tell you with 100% certainty that Reels expected a larger audience. The 10 weeks, like, what, Ring of Honor brought back, what, the Prove Me match? Like, I think Claudio just took on Cheeseburger or something, or Samoa Joe took on Cheeseburger. No, it was Claudio versus Willie Mack. The Proving Ground match. Prove that you should get a title shot. MLW, prove that you should have more time on this network. Last week's show did 50,000 viewers. If you want me to add an additional dagger to that, did anybody watch On Patrol Live last night? Seriously. Any of you live right now, did any of you watch On Patrol Live last night? I give everybody a couple of seconds to answer that. I'll tell you why. If you watched On Patrol Live last night, we all know that Monday there's this big special about Axl Rose. Last night, the advertising for MLW Underground was non-existent. That is the truth serum, my friends. We saw more advertisements for Golo, that diet shit, that fucking bald guy that wears all the infrared lights because he's in pain. If you've ever watched live On Patrol Live, you know what the commercials I'm talking about. I mean, that's all you watched last night. There were the advertising, because look, I watch On Patrol Live every week, and MLW Underground has been advertised tremendously. And the ratings have not been good. There was 1 week, and let me tell you something. I like Brandon Thurston. I have a lot of respect for him. I don't criticize him, but you got to stop with, oh, he adds the 11 p.m. airing. He adds the replay. Stop with that fucking shit. Stop with that shit. MLW airs between 10 and 11 p.m. If it repeats overnight, don't add the two together. That's Bush. That's Bush League. This is why people are shocked when things get taken off the air or there's issues with wrestling or if negotiations. Listen, when Tony Khan negotiates new TV rights for AEW, believe me when I tell you, that motherfucker is not going to take quotes from Brandon Thurston or Dave Meltzer or anyone else out there that takes crumbs. And they're going to say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but nothing. You know, Court Bauer tries to negotiate more programming on Reels. You think he's going to turn around and say, yeah, but Brandon Thurston said another 10,000 watched at 11 p.m. Probably those motherfuckers fell asleep and they left the channel on. You know, you don't factor in, hey, well, it was on Tuesday and it was on Friday and it was on at 3 a.m. You got to add all that together. It's nonsense. It's bizarro land. So the fact is that we invested all of this time and energy and hope about MLW going to Reels and a motherfucker only signed for 10 weeks. The ratings went down 50% and the advertisement yesterday was zero. It was zero. I think there might have been one commercial like an hour before On Patrol Live. And remember, one of the selling points for MLW is that Reels did these surveys, and they did these testings, and they found that a lot of wrestling fans watch On Patrol Live. So the idea was, hey, it's like the slap shit. It's like the slap. You know, that slap show, that fucking slap show that sucks, the Dana White slap shit. They thought, hey, wrestling fans like that. They like that, so we'll put it on right after Dynamite. And it failed miserably. So that is the fact. The truth serum is that Reels has pulled almost all of their advertising for MLW, and now they're selling it to, you know, the diet people, for fat people like me, Golo, or to promote other shit. And if you think I'm making it up, tonight On Patrol Live airs at 10 p.m. Excuse me, 9 p.m. You can watch first shift at 8 p.m., but watch at 9 o'clock. It's on until midnight. And you count how many advertisements for MLW Underground you see. Up until last week, there was at least 6 to 8 advertisements a night. Yesterday, I counted 0. So I don't give a shit what these other websites want to play footsie again. Oh, no, no, no. We're hoping for a good outcome and this and that. Facts are facts. The ratings are down 50%. They only signed a 10-episode deal. You know, they're about to lose anything with the court case, and I hope WWE countersues for all the legal fees. It's not that I have any gripe against Court Bauer, but, you know, these people out there, they hype this shit up. Look at the AEW, and we'll talk about it more on Wednesday, but did you see the press release for this all-access thing? You know, first of all, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. But the first thing, the first reaction I got was 6 episodes. That's it. 6. 6. Yeah, 6. That's what it is. 6. And you know, each week it's going to involve someone else. I see Eddie Kingston featured on the promo video. I love Eddie Kingston. I want to see what they do. There's a problem, though. They just did on TV, on their social media, that Eddie Kingston quit AEW. Eddie Kingston is now tweeting on how, wow, I love Ring of Honor. And the Ring of Honor vibe, it's nothing like the AEW vibe. You think Eddie Kingston is intentionally trying to be like a CM Punk right now? You think he's really doing this in real life? My point is, how the fuck are you going to feature him on All Access if you just did something where he quit AEW? What are they going to do? Follow him while he quits AEW and he goes to Florida? This is what we worried about. That's what we worried about with this All Access. I'm going to watch it with open arms. But all this fucking tremendous hype, and it's 6 episodes for All Access and 10 episodes for MLW Underground. And didn't they have, what, 4 episodes already? So they're almost halfway done. They're almost halfway done. And let me tell you something. MLW airing content from like 6 months ago in the very beginning, you know, just that didn't do it for me. I'm sorry. You know, and they were putting things on TV with no rhyme or reason. And it just, you know, this did not feel like AWA on ESPN back in the day, where you just felt like you wanted to watch a little bit of wrestling. No, MLW is trying to portray this on TV with continuous storylines, episodic television. Court, with all due respect, you cannot do episodic television for 10 weeks in pro wrestling. You know, unless that's season one, and after 10 weeks, everybody goes home for vacation, and then a year, you go back for season two. So we spent a little too much time on that guy, on that promotion, but that's the facts. That's the facts about it. All right, let's talk about Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville was arrested last month in Jersey, you know. Some people, Borgata is not a town, everyone. It's a hotel. You know, arrested in Borgata. You know, I think they're mistaking it with, what's that? What was that country or town? Bogota. The Borgata Hotel and Casino and Spa in Atlantic City. All right. Let me explain to you what happened. I gave a little teaser Wednesday, but I didn't want to get into too much details because I didn't have the information in front of me. By the way, I thought it was funny. If you think I'm lying, go back to Wayback Machine and do some searches because people deleted it. You know, there were actually wrestling news sites that thought that this was her mugshot. They actually thought that that was her mugshot because that's what TMZ put up. There were some people out there, Daria Bernardo, Benedetto, whatever her last name is, Bernardo. You know, Sonya Deville, mugshot, click here. That's what they showed. That's not her mugshot. By the way, did you hear about the orgy, the click, the tweet and delete orgy that went on a couple of days ago about this? Did you see that? Did you miss it? Oh, a lot of people had some egg on their face. And look, if Stacey Keibler goes into the WWE Hall of Fame, I'll be happy for her. You know, you know what? Before we talk about the Sonya Deville arrest, and I'll give you the story, I'll tell you about this one. This is funny. Two, three days ago, I don't tweet much anymore. Like, I promote my stuff. I send some messages to some people privately. If I see something that catches my eye, that makes me laugh, I'll share it with all of you. Case in point, The Undertaker and Kevin Nash getting savage on Yuta Michinoku. Oh, my God. Oh, my. We have it. I'm going to share it with you. If you don't know about this, this is great. Things like that. But other than that, I just sit back and I just watch all the horrible shit that goes down. So anyway, a couple of days ago, I opened up my social media and I'm checking, you know, like, what other people are posting. And the ones that are not muted on my timeline, I see, oh, congratulations, Stacey Keibler, first inductee for the WWE Hall of Fame. And I was a little surprised. I was like, you know, you usually want to put, like, the cornerstone, even if it's Batista or maybe The Rock goes in or whoever else. You know, Stacey Keibler, interesting choice. Personally, someone wrote something, and I got to share with you. I think it is a very smart idea. A really smart idea. And speaking of smart, Scott Woodford, thank you very much, my friend. Thank you. With the $1.99, hi, DT, hope you're doing well. I'm doing pretty good. Had a stress test that I was not looking forward to on Thursday, but I got it done. The funny thing about it was I got some free Coca-Cola out of it. I did my stress test, and after it was done, they're like, how do you feel? I'm like, all right, I don't do the treadmill. I don't do treadmills. I got the injection instead, and the injection races your heart, speeds it up, slows it down. It's crazy what they can do with your heart with needles. So anyway, long story short, wait, I didn't want to remove Scott yet. Scott, where did you go? Where did you go, Scott? I think I might have actually shut him down. Oh, no. That's okay. All right. Well, thank you, Scott. I could still verbally shout you out. After it was done, they're like, how do you feel? I said, I feel fine. About maybe 2-3 minutes later, the wall started spinning. I felt like I was getting vertigo. So I'm like, whoa. So the woman's like, are you all right? It's like everything is spinning. So she lifts my legs up, and then she pours me some Coca-Cola. Now, I have not had regular Coca-Cola in years. Even though I'm off keto now, I drink Coke Zero. I took a sip of that. I drank the whole fucking thing. And she's like, how do you feel? I said, yeah, I'm still a little dizzy. You know, I still don't feel all right. Let me get you more Coke. I was fine. I just wanted more Coca-Cola. But, yeah, so thank you, Scott. Yeah, doing better, feeling better. So check this out. So a couple of days ago, Stacey Keibler, that pops up on my wall, and I see a bunch of people, you know, reacted to it. And I thought it was an odd, you know, thing, you know, that she's the first one. So I go on a couple of websites, do a Google search. There's still like one or two sites out there that are actually reporting this, by the way. And, you know, I see like some, but I don't see any of the major websites writing it. I don't see WWE's website writing it. So I said, okay, this might not be legit. About an hour later, some people that I follow, all their tweets were deleted. 99% of the tweets on Twitter were deleted. Somebody was trolling online and posted that. And news sites, actually reported it as news, and it was a lie. There was so much tweeting and deleting going on a couple of days ago. It was pretty fucking funny. And again, there's still a couple of news sites that still have reported that Stacey Keibler is the first. She might go in the Hall of Fame, but this is what we used to joke about with certain podcasters that were reporting news and then it's wrong and they question about it and you find out they were just reading tweets. They were just reading tweets and that was their sources. So, all right, let's talk about Sonya Deville. All right, let me tell you in simple English what happened. And let me also explain that in New Jersey, you do not fuck around when it comes to guns. You don't fuck around when it comes to speeding and driving. Believe me, I got pulled over once in Jersey. Those cops are the... I honestly think... I mean, look, there's some states that have some really bad cops, but if you do a Google search, I think Jersey is probably ranked near the top of the most asshole cops in the country. So, you know, you don't fuck around in Jersey. And listen, if you hear, you know, like things happen, and there is a lot of crime in Jersey, but... You know, you don't normally hear like, oh, has the strictest gun laws and yet all this stuff is going on. You hear that about California. You hear it about some other states. But Jersey, you know, I think they scare the shit out of a lot of people. So they have something called the Graves Act. All right. And, you know, I'm going to read you what the Graves Act is. All right. The Graves Act in New Jersey is Criminal Code 2C43-6. This provision requires the court to sentence people to jail with mandatory minimum terms if the individual is found in possession of a gun or commits certain crimes while in possession of guns. The minimum period of parole in ineligibility required for offenses by the Graves Act is 42 months or a third or half of the sentence imposed. Okay? Basically, if you have a gun violation in Jersey, they treat it as serious, serious shit. And if you go on Google, there's about 10,000 lawyers that will scare the shit out of you and then tell you why you should hire them for something like this. Now, there are some exceptions with the Graves Act. And one of those exceptions is how to beat a gun charge in Jersey. All right, there's a couple of ways that you could fight the Graves Act and the charges. Now, let me tell you what happened with Sonya Deville, and then I'll show you the interesting little tidbit. She went to the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Atlantic City, and she valet parked a car, all right? Now, what happened was the valet driver found the gun in her glove compartment, and he called police. The officers found the vehicle. They found Sonya Deville, very cooperative, responsible, being nice, you know, didn't contest anything. She admitted she's the owner of the gun. The gun is legally owned by her. The problem is she is licensed in Florida. She is not licensed in New Jersey to carry the gun. If she had residence in Jersey, if she had a second house in Jersey, the gun would have been fine. But since she is there and the gun is licensed to Florida, that is a crime. Now, a little tidbit that a lot of people didn't bring up that a lot of people don't know. If you are driving through Jersey, let's say I'm Sonya Deville and I'm driving from Florida to wherever, or New York to Pennsylvania. New York to Pennsylvania, and you drive through New Jersey, and you get pulled over for speeding, and they find that she's got the gun in the glove compartment. She won't be arrested for that because her destination was not Jersey. You understand? So because she was at that spa and hotel that made her destination New Jersey. And that's why she got into this trouble. Now, how can she beat the gun charge in Jersey? One, you challenge the consent of a search of your car. You could challenge a motor vehicle stop and illegal search and seizure. You could challenge bad warrants, illegal searches. You could plan negotiations and reduce the sentencing minimums. Or you were transporting the gun to a gun range. So there's a few examples that lawyers will give you. Now, the one that I focus on is challenging the consent of a search. My friends, PW Insider was the one that everybody copied and pasted from. I invite you, go check out that article. You'll find something very, very interesting there that nobody even bothered to say, like, huh, that's interesting. If you go read that article, the article says is that the gun was locked in her glove box, that she had it locked in a glove box. My question to all of you is, why did the valet driver unlock her glove box? Think about that for a minute. The glove box was locked. Read the reports. So why did the valet driver unlock the glove box? Yes, it's possible that she could have said to the valet driver, you know, could you unlock my glove box and get me my cigarettes? You know, I mean, I don't think they're going to do that. But my point is it was locked in a glove box and the valet driver unlocked the glove box. And when he saw the gun, he didn't ask Sonya Deville, you know, what's the deal with the gun? You know, if I was her, I would have said, none of your fucking business. I own it. I have a license. You know, a valet driver is not a police officer. Now, the valet driver, nervous, probably shitting bricks. Holy shit, there's a gun in his car. He calls the cops. But, you know, at the end of the day, why did that valet driver unlock that glove box? So, truthfully, and let me tell you something. One thing that New Jersey is notorious for is negotiating tickets down. When low-life Louis Ramos got married and I was in his wedding party, I had to drive to New Jersey to get a tux, to be fitted for a tux. And I was on some road and, you know, long story short, I get pulled over for speeding. You know, and I said to the officer, this is the God honest truth, I was all the way in the left lane and I wanted to get gas. I was low in gas. So, you know, there were cars to the right of me and behind me. And I was in the far left lane, and the gas the station was coming up. And if you know anything about highways in New Jersey, sometimes it'll say next gas station 15 miles away. So I was pretty low on gas, and I had to speed up to get in front of those cars so I could go into the gas station. The motherfucker cop followed me in the gas station, waited until my car was filled with gas. Then I pulled out of the gas station, and then literally a couple of minutes, like a minute or two later, the sirens are on. And I wasn't speeding at the time. I had my seatbelt on. I pulled over, and I'm like, officer, what did I do? License and registration and insurance card, please. Okay, but officer, what did I do? License would not tell me. And then finally he says to me I was speeding. And I said, officer, with all due respect, I was not speeding. I said, I what? He's like, no, not now, before. And I'm like, before? I said, you're pulling me over now? He gave me a speeding ticket. Anyway, I went online. I hired an attorney. And the attorney went to the court for me and pleaded it down to a parking ticket. I had to pay like $145 fine and then whatever the lawyer charged as well. But I got no speeding ticket on my record. I just had to pay probably like $400 or $500 at the end of the day. But they chopped it down to a parking infraction. They are notorious for doing that. Long Island does that as well. Unfortunately for Brooklyn and Queens and Manhattan, you're shit out of luck, pretty much. But Jersey is notorious for that. And I think, and look, I'm not trying to play lawyer here, but she did own the gun. She could have legitimately, legally had the gun in the car if there was a different scenario that she was just driving through Jersey. But she stopped, and that made it her destination. and she did not have a permit for Jersey. If, again, if she would have had a secondary residence in Jersey, it would have been fine. If she was just passing through, it would have been fine. But she does own the gun. She does have it properly licensed in Florida. And truthfully, what I believe is going to happen is they're going to chop this down to a ticket and a fine, not going to be on a license, and that's the end of it. That's why even WWE, she's got no heat on her whatsoever. So that's the true story, the up-to-date facts as far as Sonya Deville and her arrest. So she's not going to face, I mean, you know, a lot of people online really getting dramatic with this, like, oh, she's facing serious charges, this and that, the Graves Act, there's a lot more to it. You'll see that when, now I was going to pull the court documents, I haven't had a chance to yet, but she's going to be in court later this month. I have a feeling it either gets postponed once or they negotiate and it gets chopped down to a traffic infraction. Nothing on a license, and that's the end of it. So that's the story with Sonya Deville. So, all right. Moving on. We'll talk quickly about Goldberg. Then we'll talk a little bit about SmackDown yesterday. Little dilemma that is starting to surface that people I don't think have really thought about yet, but it's something that is seriously being talked about behind the scenes and has to do with Judgment Day. And, you know, a couple of things that were added for Revolution's pay-per-view this weekend. Now, first of all, you know what? Let's talk Undertaker and Kevin Nash first. I mean, I think that's better for everyone out there. All right. Ever since Wheeler Yuta has been pushed, put in a Blackpool Combat Club and everything else, he's not a bad wrestler. He definitely is a good indie wrestler. To me, you know, like I said, AEW, you got to give them this about their fans who attend the shows. They are loyal to everyone who puts on a performance for them. That's the way it should be. You know, when I worked indie shows, when I worked for various promotions, the fans that were there to have a good time. Yeah, they would have some fun with some of the wrestlers and, you know, you heckle some people and this and that. But at the end of the day, they supported the people who were putting on a performance for them. So the idea that the AEW crowd would totally go against Yuta, you know, if he was a former WWE guy and some, yeah, I'll give you a good example. Does anybody remember when the Hardys first went into Ring of Honor? No, I'm not talking about the broken Hardys. You remember a long time before that? They were not welcomed with open arms. The Ring of Honor fans were very, very militant towards the Hardys. You know, it's something a lot of people, you know, don't want you to know about. But back then, if you were a former WWE guy and you were looked at as a WWE character and you went to Ring of Honor, and especially if they thought that you were going to just put on a character performance, even though you would think, I mean, the Hardys, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and even 15 years ago, still looked at as one of the greatest tag teams. But, you know, Big Bill got buried last, well, yeah, they, oh, actually, no, that is a good example. Big Bill got buried last Wednesday, you know, but the fans, I think if Enzo showed up in AEW, I think the fans would like it because Enzo got fired from WWE. And yes, Enzo was looked at the wrong way with 205 Live, but remember, 205 Live's numbers were the best when Enzo was around. Ox King with the two spot. Thank you very much, Ox. I thank you for that, my friend. And, you know, I hope you reached out to me with your address information so I could get you that Nikita Lyons photo. And we will announce the winner of the Gigi Dolan photo on Wednesday. So the contest is on Wednesday. The winners are revealed on Wednesday. So, you know, so Yuta, I understand why AEW fans are very supportive of Yuta, but for me, like his promos, they're not good at all. He sounds like he's at an audition and he only has one shot to try to get the part. And he's just, it feels like he's reading something. You know, I just don't like Wheeler Yuta as a performer. He hasn't clicked to me. To me, he looks like, and Rams fan brought this up too, he looks like a lost member of the Young Guns. To me, I've always called him Yuta Michinoku. He reminds me of Taka Michinoku without a personality, you know? And the thing is that, you know, I think the problem that with a lot of AEW people is they take somebody in AEW and they try to, you know, magnify them and enhance them and make them bigger than what they are. And they always have to compare them to somebody who is legendary. And even when AEW people fuck up, you know, like, yeah, the ladder thing, okay? I defended the officials holding the ladder for Hobbs the other day. So the guy doesn't fucking fall off of a broken ladder and gets crippled as a result of it. Somebody brought up a clip of John Cena versus Edge with a ladder match, and all three officials were holding the ladder as well. And there was no uproar at that time. Believe me, I was doing shows. There was no uproar about the three officials holding the ladder. But people always got to take like botches in AEW and compare it to WWE. Oh, don't tell me this when WWE's... I've always said, my dad brought me up and he says, you don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. Just because that person fucks up doesn't mean that you should fuck up as well. You know, and that's what happens all the time. And when you hear people in AEW hyping someone or something up to a ridiculous level, of course people are going to laugh at it. So, you know, on Twitter yesterday, and I thought it was bullshit, until I actually looked at their social media accounts and it was real. Somebody posted something about Wheeler Yuta. Remember the time that he bled like a pig? And you had people comparing it to Steve Austin and WrestleMania 13 against Bret Hart. And, you know, that caught legs. In fact, recently, you know, Tony Khan was comparing like certain people on his roster to like Sting and Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and this, that. And, you know, you understand why they say that, but still the fans interpret it a different way. So yesterday this happened on social media. And for my audio only friends, somebody posted the picture of Wheeler Yuta and, you know, he's in... It looks like a sharpshooter, and he's bleeding profusely. It looks like Steve Austin's pose, WrestleMania 13. And the person writes, imagine you're stone cold on your ranch drinking a Budweiser, scrolling Twitter, and you see this being compared to you. And yes, a lot of people have compared this to Steve Austin. And this. So anyway, Kevin Nash responds, and he says, don't worry, he ain't watching. All right. Savage, you know, pissed off a lot of AEW fans. I'm happy that Kevin Nash's sense of humor is coming back because he's been in a very dark place recently for obvious reasons. But Kevin Nash wasn't the only one to respond. Undertaker immediately came back and wrote, huge pop, mocking, you know, obviously the reaction towards Yuta with this move compared to Steve Austin. And let me tell you something, the floodgates of hate, that almost sounds like, you know, it should be like the name of something. The floodgates of hate opened up yesterday. And let me tell you something, you know, when you piss off AEW fans, you know, sometimes they'll play, you know, chess and they'll try to throw it back at you with examples of maybe something you do like, and that's fine. But then you get these people that take this so personally that I watched people who have a little bit of respect in social media, you know, bringing up Kevin Nash's deceased son. Oh, well, your son ain't watching it either. I mean, that's how it turns out. But listen, you know, if you think that a lot of people in the wrestling world that are Hall of Famers and veterans, excuse me, sorry about that. If you think that they, you know, appreciate and take seriously some of these ridiculous comparisons, you know, of what is done. And these are people in the business. These are people in AEW. You know, a lot of you have been asking me to comment about Kenny Omega, you know, using cartoons, you know, like Justice League and Batman and stuff to explain like some of his character. I'll talk about that Wednesday. But, you know, let me explain something. There isn't a hatred in the wrestling world between WWE and AEW. And I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about people in the business. But they don't take a lot of this seriously. They take it as a guy that has billions and doesn't know what to do with it and decided he is going to play wrestling promoter. You look at Rampage yesterday. I mean, with all due respect, you know, he thinks that John Silver and Alex Reynolds is one of the most over tag teams in wrestling. And for some reason, he thinks that the masses of wrestling fans want to see Aussie Open. I'm not saying that Aussie Open is not talented, but there's a reason why when New Japan is on TV, it only gets 40,000 viewers, 50,000 viewers. You have New Japan stars that show up at Impact Wrestling and they can't even draw enough to fill a baseball stadium. You know, he puts on TV who he thinks that he loves, the Ring of Honor stuff and everything like in between. And the wrestling world, and understand this, Undertaker, Kevin Nash, you know, Steve Austin, what do they all have in common? They are Vince McMahon guys. You know, you go on social media and you see that anything negative, we called this 8 months ago, that anything negative that is done creatively, that, oh, Vince McMahon has his hand on that. Vince McMahon is still involved in creative. Contrary to this, Vince McMahon, you know, somebody brought up to me the other day, we were having a good laugh. Remember when Bianca Belair, you know, faced Becky Lynch and Bayley in a three-way, you know, to close out Raw, and if Bianca or if Becky or Bayley won, they would be in the Elimination Chamber. And somebody made the remark to me that Bianca Belair thinks, she feels, that if you want to face me at WrestleMania, then you should beat me to go to the Elimination Chamber to win, to beat me. It's like, if you really think about it, it was just to write off a week. You knew there was no chance of Bianca Belair losing that night, but you know, you want to have the opportunity to face me, then you must beat me to go to the Elimination Chamber. It was just really dumb. And look at some of the outcomes of some of the matches recently. You know, with all due respect, I loved what they did last night on SmackDown with Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio. All right. You know, using the mask, you know, Santos, you know, trying to knock some respect into Dominic Mysterio. Not only did Dominic Mysterio win, but he decides to rip apart the mask that Rey gave to Santos. But how many times are we going to get a wrestler that goes up to Dominic and says, your father should have slapped you, but that doesn't mean that I can't. You know, like Edge has done it. Dominic has had that from Santos. We have had numerous, there's at least six wrestlers, Ricochet, others, people on Raw, AJ Styles. I mean, you start really thinking, there's like six or seven wrestlers that have said the same fucking thing. You know, I understand why your dad doesn't want to lay his hands on you. That doesn't mean that I can't. They've done that seven times. How many matches now that the person doesn't see the blind tag? And that always factors in the finish. You look at some of the creative of some of these matches. You know, again, I'm not throwing shade on Triple H, but these people have this obsession that Triple H is an outsider. Some reason, because he caught a heart attack and he worked NXT, that his views about WWE is 180, a 180 of what Vince McMahon felt about. This motherfucker has been there since 1995. And him doing what he's doing now, you see Omos and Brock Lesnar. We said it last Monday that Brock Lesnar, you know, had enough pull that he could choose who he wanted to face at WrestleMania. He didn't want to face Bray Wyatt. He thought it would be fun to work with Omos. Oh, Vince McMahon. You know, like, the guy is so hated that anything, listen, I don't want Vince McMahon to die. But I think about this all the time. I can't wait to see what excuse these people give if Vince passes away sooner than later and WWE is not sold and Triple H remains in creative and you still see the same comedy done. Look at Monday's Raw. How much comedy was involved? I thought a lot of it was fun. You know, Seth Rollins with the phone and The Miz, I thought that was funny. The Bray Wyatt, Bobby Lashley thing is just a hot mess, but some of it was funny anyway. But there was a boatload of comedy going down. Otis with Cody looking in the crowd. Oh, she's over there. I mean, and because it's not funny to some people, oh, that's Vince doing it. That's Vince doing it. I can't wait till the day that Vince passes. I mean, I don't mean it like that, but I can't wait to see what these people blame it on. What are you going to blame it on? You know, so it's a little bit ridiculous. Oh, getting back to Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt. Yesterday, Uncle Howdy was in the ring. Bobby Lashley showed up, called out Bray Wyatt. Uncle Howdy shows up and starts attacking Bobby Lashley. And then Bobby Lashley ends up dropping him. The lights go out, so Uncle Howdy could crawl back under the ring. The lights come back on. Oh, Uncle Howdy disappeared. Let me tell you something, with all due respect. I have supported almost everything that Bray Wyatt has done on his return. But we've also pointed out that a majority of the people out there realize that whatever contract that he signed with Triple H and Stephanie and Nick Khan and everyone else when he came back, that this contract was probably for a very small number of matches, that it was going to be more cinematic than anything else, that he was going to have a creative pull in this, you know, and now people like, oh, Vince McMahon is taking over the Bray Wyatt character and that's why we got the Firefly Funhouse and this was that. Oh, well, how's about maybe this was plan B because the other shit just went nowhere. The other shit went nowhere. Teasing. I'm watching morons in the last 24 hours saying that the original plans for WrestleMania was Bray Wyatt versus Uncle Howdy. What? Based on what? Based on your ignorant assumptions that first Grayson Waller was a pig or Joe Gacy was a pig and Grayson Waller was a fucking pelican. And they thought that there was going to be this faction of six. And then Uncle Howdy, it was Revel, dude, are you in charge? They're just watching it and they're guessing like, oh, they must be fighting this. No, it just went nowhere. And they didn't do any reveal. So they don't know what the fuck to do. So now they went to plan B. Okay, we'll have Bobby Lashley take on Bray Wyatt. How do we go there? Well, let's mock Bobby Lashley. And they look at the Funhouse stuff and they went with it. That doesn't mean that Vince has his hand in this. But yesterday was just a hot fucking mess. And I'll tell you why. Because, my friends, didn't it feel like Bobby Lashley was the heel with the Brock Lesnar stuff? The teasing that the Hurt Business is reforming and MVP being a babyface just doesn't feel right. How many times we have this conversation? Yesterday, Bobby Lashley comes out, he's smiling, he's slapping fives with the fans, and he's happy, and this and that. And then Uncle Howdy is playing full-blown heel in the ring. Are we supposed to cheer Bray Wyatt, or is he the heel? Is Uncle Howdy? This is a hot mess. It's a hot mess. And let me say something. It's been a hot mess for months. For months. The first 2 weeks that Bray Wyatt and LA Knight interacted with each other, we're like, wow, okay, never expected this. I'm kind of interested. And then you realize it's to promote a drink. It's to promote a Mountain Dew drink. And they have the gimmick match, and it is what it is. And since then, there's been nothing. because there's been no storyline. If you look at, remember the rabbit? You remember when they were playing Jefferson Starship or Jefferson Airplane, you know, in the crowds? You think about those early clips and Bray Wyatt. The story was him battling his inner demons. He's a man that has multiple personalities, a personality disorder. And what we're seeing on the screen is basically his personalities on camera. But now they want to put people out there. I think, you know, it could end up happening in the end. Bray Wyatt, all six shades of Bray that we have talked about all along, that Bray, to play mind games, he will have different people out there at the same time wearing said outfits. You know, of course, it's going to be a hard sell to get someone to dress as the Fiend when it's not Bray Wyatt under it. But, you know, when you see Uncle Howdy in the ring, you know, I'm watching this yesterday and I'm saying to myself, is this guy a heel? Is he a babyface? Is Bobby Lashley heel? Obviously, Bobby Lashley is not playing heel anymore. So it's just a hot mess. It's a complete, complete hot mess. So yesterday also on SmackDown, we had Rhea Ripley beating Liv Morgan, and she made Liv Morgan tap, and they showed a crying girl, crying fan, a little girl in the crowd crying. There's a very, very cool clip online of Liv Morgan meeting that fan. And let me tell you something. I'm going to bring it up, I think, again on Monday, but I'll say it here also. When you see the interaction that Liv Morgan had with this little girl, when you see how active Liv Morgan is on social media with fans, how she will go out of her way to acknowledge people who draw signs supporting her in the crowd. I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think if people let it penetrate a little bit, I think you'll understand why I say it. Remember way back when Roman Reigns first came to the main roster and I said he's going to get the John Cena push? And my co-host and a lot of people at that time were like, what are you talking about? He doesn't look like Cena, doesn't wrestle like Cena. What do you mean? I said, he's going to be the next John Cena of this company. And you saw how they force-fed us Roman Reigns for a couple of years. And to me, the orgasm, the pinnacle, was when The Rock held his hand up in the air and The Rock's looking around like, fuck am I, where am I? What the fuck is going on here? They're supposed to be cheering this motherfucker. And Roman Reigns has got this bloody, goofy look on his face. Now, Roman Reigns has totally, you know, revamped his career, and he's the top guy, the top dog right now. Roman Reigns has done it. Guy can't complain. I think when everything is said and done, no, will not be the level of what John Cena did. Liv Morgan is going to be the female equivalent to John Cena when it comes to Make-A-Wish and doing things to make kids happy. All right. I see it. I think, you know, obviously it's going to take, you know, probably 10 years, but I think Liv Morgan is going to be the female equivalent of John Cena when it comes to the kids. I'm telling you, I'm not saying like push or the way that she's used on TV. I'm talking about just the human personality, her, how she interacts with kids. She is going to be that female equivalent. You know, a few people are saying Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is a role model. And Bianca Belair is definitely, you know, just because you're a role model and kids look up to you and you give kids advice and you show up and you, it's different. It's different. Because when you see John Cena with Make-A-Wish, there are a lot of other good people, men in WWE that do visit kids as well. A lot of people. So, but Liv Morgan will be compared to John Cena. You watch. Give it time. You watch. She will be the one. So, all right. So after that girl was crying, Liv Morgan had her come backstage and they filmed the meeting and everything. And I thought that was very, very cool. Thought that was awesome. So, now, you know, they did, and what a waste, man. They did something yesterday. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, Tegan Knox, Natalya. There's a backstage skirmish. It was supposed to be, I guess, a tag match last night. And Ronda Rousey, arm injury or something, so she can't do anything. Then we had Shayna Baszler beat Tegan Knox. And I could have sworn, I mean, I wasn't paying 100% attention because I was preparing for the show for today. But I could have sworn I heard in the background Tegan Knox yelling like, I think she broke my arm, my arm, my arm. And they fucking went to the back. Like, there's like no medical, no concern from Michael Cole. They just went to a backstage. It reminded me of AEW. When something happens in the ring and they don't keep it on the camera and they just go to the backstage segment and they go to the next segment. That was kind of awful yesterday. But, you know, it is what it is. But some people are still hell-bent thinking that Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville are going to win the tag titles. I'm still wondering if they're going to face each other at Mania. I think there's a good chance. Somebody saying knowing that Sonya has a gun makes her hotter. She had a psycho show up at her house that could have killed her. And remember, there's something that a lot of people forget. Remember, she was not there alone. She was there with Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose was her enemy in storyline. If that psychopath would have saw Mandy Rose first, Lord knows what could have happened. That is one of the scariest, most traumatic stories that I have ever read in wrestling as far as stalkers go. So her carrying a gun, you know, that's for protection. I invite this guy to show up at my house. Like, I'll blow his ass away. So, you know, guns, you know, listen, I know the controversy about guns and, you know, there's obviously way too many of them out there and assault weapons and everything. But I also do believe that, you know, you have the right to protect yourself, you know. And I think Sonya Deville having one obviously is there to protect herself. No issues with that. Yesterday, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. I was very surprised at the mixed reaction that this got on social media. My friends, let it play out. We still got a month. Cody Rhodes will get the shit knocked out of him before WrestleMania. Yesterday, it was a sign of respect. This was a little bit old school. You might have even compared it to like shades of Ric Flair back in the day. Shades of other feuds. You know, when Ric Flair feuded with Dusty, when Harley Race feuded with Dusty, you know, there would be that mutual respect. There would be that show of respect amongst them. So it's actually four weeks if you add the number of days. There's 27 days left, and it's what, April 4th, April 5th? It's actually 4 weeks away, not 3 weeks. But, and remember, Cody Rhodes is a Raw guy. Cody Rhodes has to tell the world that he's going to SmackDown. Roman Reigns will go to Raw. He will show up on Raw. He holds a belt for Raw as well. So don't think that there's only three SmackDowns left, so there's only three more shots at it. No, there will be stuff that'll go down on Raw as well. And listen, I know some of you out there might be a little sick of the Dusty Rhodes factor in this storyline. This is the first time that Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes interacted with each other. The first time. So obviously, you have to incorporate a lot of the history. And it is true. As far as Dusty Rhodes telling Roman Reigns, you got it. You can't sell it. You can't give it away. You got it. You know, we just had to wait for it to come out. You know, and Dusty, as beloved as he is the father of Cody. And the story is that even Cody's own father knew the writing on the wall that Roman Reigns is the bigger star than Cody Rhodes. That's the story. You want to hurt Cody Rhodes' feelings? You put in his face that your own dad thought I was better than you. WrestleMania is April 1st, April 2nd. What did I say? 4th and 5th? Thank you. All right. So it's still 28 days away. Still, and it's 7 days in a week. That's 4 weeks. I liked yesterday. I like the mutual respect. I like the professionalism. You know, right now, the anger, the disarray, the cracks has to do with Sami Zayn. It has to do with Jey Uso. It has to do with Jimmy Uso. Because now Roman Reigns is going to take this out, not on Sami Zayn, not on Jey Uso. He's going to blame Jimmy Uso. So this is turning into chaos. Cody Rhodes is not part of that chaos. He can't, because they haven't even set up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at WrestleMania 39. We have 28 days left. You got three Raws, three SmackDowns. So you got six shows to set that up. Now, the story right now is that Jimmy Uso has 1 week. 1 week to show that he is bloodline. If not, he takes it out on Jimmy Uso. So if you remember 2 weeks ago, we said that within a week or two, they have to take it to the next level, because you need that week of breaking the fans' hearts, breaking Sami Zayn's heart. You need the week of Kevin Owens, you know, aligning once again. Almost like, remember Dusty with Dustin back in the day? I don't need you, just a handshake and a hug. That's all we need. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, a handshake and a hug. That has to happen. Then they have to issue the challenge for the Usos. And I'm sure Adam Pearce is going to do a contract signing, right? So this is going to speed up very, very quickly. By next Saturday, this is going to be on a different level. It will be pretty concise as far as what's going to go down. And then that leaves 3 full weeks of, you know, just taking it and making the match and having the beatdowns. Once that part of it is done, that's when Cody Rhodes will get his ass kicked. Cody Rhodes will be attacked from Roman Reigns. There has to be that anger and tension that this cannot just be the mutual 1983 Ric Flair, Harley Race, and this and that, where both sides have mutual respect going into WrestleMania. You know, remember, Roman Reigns, this is his. You remember how angry he got to Sami Zayn? And Sami Zayn wanted to take what means everything to him, and that's his titles. So he's not going to just mutually respectfully fight someone who's trying to take the two titles that mean everything to Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes is a threat for Roman Reigns' titles. So before you know it, Roman Reigns will turn on Cody. I mean, if you want to put it that way, Cody will get assaulted before Mania. We'll probably see some blood spilled as well. And that is going to have the fans chant even harder. Cody, Cody. If I was WWE, seriously, I would have Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens all laid out in the ring. I don't think they want to go bloody, but if you could make an exception for WrestleMania purposes, I think you got to leave all three of them laying in a mess, just laid out, totally destroyed, 1 week at least, or 2 weeks before WrestleMania. I think you need that moment because, and the only reason why I don't think you'll have Cody laid out with Sami and Kevin is because they want the fans to chant, Cody, Cody, Cody. If he gets laid out at the same time as Sami, you might have the fans going, Sami, Sami. So we'll probably have two separate incidents, but those incidents are going to happen. Those incidents are going to happen, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, something else we need to get into. It has to do with the judgment day. First off, the actually, you know, let's talk about one more thing with SmackDown yesterday. All right. We got this coming up next week. It's a fatal five-way to determine who is going to face Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. And we got LA Knight versus Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus versus Kofi Kingston. And yesterday on SmackDown, this was also a hot mess. And I'm sure people are going to also claim that Vince McMahon has his hand in this. They really can't, because Vince was not high on Gunther. So I don't know what excuse they can make for this. To me, I thought this was kind of awful yesterday. Especially Sheamus now going on Twitter, instead of doing banger after banger after banger after banger, now he's doing backstabbing bitch after backstabbing bastard after backstabbing bastard after Now suddenly Sheamus hates Drew McIntyre. Hates him. Backstabbing bastard. So yesterday Drew McIntyre comes out. He wants Gunther at WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre, Sheamus comes out and Sheamus is pissed. Sheamus is like, what are you doing? You know, it should be mine. And Drew is like, you know, you had opportunities. You lost. You know, and they're going back and forth. And then LA Knight comes out. WrestleMania will not be, you can't have a Los Angeles WrestleMania without LA Knight. And this is not, I guess LA Knight, you know, wants to face Gunther. Then, because of the back and forth with the New Day and LA Knight the next couple of weeks, Kofi Kingston comes out there and Kofi wants Gunther. And then Karrion Kross comes out and, you know, he wants something as well. But didn't he lose that match against Madcap Moss and Santos Escobar and Rey Mysterio? Like, why would he get another opportunity? And look, I'm not dissing Karrion Kross. I'm a huge supporter of his. But that was odd yesterday. I'm looking at him like, why is he out here? He just lost 2 weeks ago, you know, in that match. So they announced next week we're having a fatal five-way to determine who's going to face Gunther. The only thing that I could get out of this is either they have decided to go with Drew McIntyre against Gunther, which I don't think so. The fact that they're having Sheamus so angry at Drew now, calling him backstabbing bastard after backstabbing bastard, means that they're going to put hands on each other at WrestleMania. I wonder if Sheamus and Drew pin each other, but they're going to both have their shoulders on the mat. And I think Adam Pearce says they both go to Mania and take on Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. It's the only scenario I could come up with. It's the only scenario. We probably will see Sheamus and Drew pin each other, but they'll fruit roll up each other where both shoulders are on the mat, both sets of shoulders, and Adam Pearce has to make a judgment call. Now, if I was the asshole, I would say, you know what? Both of you pinned each other. Both of you are out. LA Knight versus Kross versus Kofi versus Gunther Mania. No, nobody wants to see that. So that's what we got yesterday. A little bit of a hot mess, man. Little hot mess. Rhea Ripley over Liv Morgan. Dominic Mysterio over Santos Escobar. Shayna Baszler over Tegan Knox. Solo Sikoa over Sami Zayn. If any of you out there thought that Solo Sikoa was going to get his first pinned loss on the main roster, you know, yeah, that wasn't happening. I'm happy that not many people were angry that Sami Zayn got pinned yesterday. He's not being de-pushed. This is more about Jimmy Uso and wanting to attack Sammy, and Solo wanted to do his damage as well. No Kevin Owens. You know, when Sammy was set up in the corner after the match and we thought Solo was going to do his power move, you know, run into Sammy, when Jimmy Uso stopped him and says, you know, I want to do this, I thought when Jimmy Uso was going to run towards the Sammy that we would have the same as last week. Kevin Owens would pop in the ring with the hoodie, give him a super kick, and then get out of Dodge. But we didn't get that yesterday. Instead, you know, Sammy, you know, gets a little offense in there. a chair is incorporated. So Sammy gets out of Dodge, runs into the crowd. You know, backing away from a two-on-one beatdown does not make Sammy look weak. I saw a lot of people last night writing, oh, it makes Sammy look weak. It makes Sammy. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because in the end, Jimmy Uso and Sammy's and Solo Sikoa failed at taking out Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn standing up in the crowd is not what the outcome was expected for Roman Reigns in storyline. So even though Sammy got out of Dodge, Sammy escaped destruction. And that was the only acceptable outcome for Roman Reigns. But remember, this has got to shift away from Roman Reigns now. Roman Reigns has got to stop giving a fuck about Sami Zayn. So that's when next week comes, and we will see if next week is when Jey Uso finally breaks the heart of Sami Zayn. And then that leads, you got to leave him laying. Got to leave him laying. Because if Roman is satisfied with what happens next week towards Sami or even Kevin Owens, then the following week, now Roman could focus on Cody Rhodes. We don't need constipated Roman in the back, sitting there, like wondering, like, what do we do about this? What do we do about this? He's got to be content. There's got to be a moment where Roman Reigns is satisfied with what he's seeing. So Roman then could shift to Cody Rhodes. That's why next week has got to be the time to do it. So, Matt Riddle is ready to come back, JS. The thing is, though, is that the storyline is so intertwined with all of these guys, and with only WrestleMania being, you know, 28 days away, you know, if you introduce a brand new person in this, you know, it becomes complicated. We haven't even seen why it's going to be the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn yet, because Jay is still technically no longer in the bloodline. That has to change. So you're not going to just throw someone back in to throw someone back in. Maybe after all of this, then maybe Solo Sikoa shows up on a Raw, and then maybe he gets laid out from Riddle, or maybe Riddle shows up and wants revenge, and that sets up a match at WrestleMania. I still think Solo Sikoa may not have a match at WrestleMania. Solo Sikoa may end up being in the corner of Roman Reigns in his match against Cody. And if that happens, then it's interesting because you almost feel like somebody's got to show up to negate Solo Sikoa. You almost feel like you could see, like, oh, towards the end of the match, Solo Sikoa is getting involved and like, oh, this is not how we want the WrestleMania match to go down. And then that's where someone be really fascinating for the main event for night two of WrestleMania. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, if Solo Sikoa is in his corner, it would be fascinating to not only bring back Matt Riddle to television, but bring him back and he get involved in the biggest match of the year, the biggest match of WrestleMania. That's pretty interesting when you think about it, especially under the circumstances. So, yeah, Randy Orton is a possibility as well. But Randy Orton doesn't have the history with Solo Sikoa. You know, not as much as Riddle, I should say. Randy Orton helping Cody. You know, they brought up yesterday on SmackDown some of the history. And Cody Rhodes, you know, was able to even bring up All In, you know, which was good. You know, that who would have ever thought that him and his friends could sell 10,000 seats for an indie event. That's fine. That's fine. There's no, like, fourth wall being broken down with that. That's just a fact of history. It's not going to make anybody tune into Dynamite or Rampage now. Like, oh, let me check out what his buddies are doing. You know, it's sometimes you have to acknowledge things for the sake of storyline. You know, when you talk about Christian, you know, you acknowledge some of his history for the sake of storyline. You look at other wrestlers, their history. You do it, you know, for the sake of storyline. And speaking of Christian, they announced King Hype. Welcome to the family. Just subscribed. King Hype, welcome. They have announced that Jungle Boy Jack Perry will be taking on Christian Cage in a match they are calling the Final Burial. Some people are immediately taking this as a buried alive match. I would be very hesitant about that. The final burial doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, someone is going to be dug and put underground. Like I said, I think there was a missed Savage opportunity Wednesday where they should have brought up, Christian should have brought up Jack Perry's father. Didn't. But the final burial, you know, it's good. It could be a casket match. I mean, I'm not saying what, I don't know what they're going to do. All I know is it's going to be good. It's going to be good. The only thing is, where is Christian going after this? Nobody is talking about Christian's future in AEW. The final burial. What if they did do a buried alive match and Christian is buried alive? Is that's the way to write him off TV? Like, we don't know what Christian's contractual future is with AEW. Nobody wants to even address it. As we pointed out with Kenny Omega, you know, some people brought up about the added time added to his talent contract because of injury. No one has ever bothered to address or even ask about, well, what about his contract working in the office? Nobody wants to bring it up. So everybody's like, oh, well, you know, if they're not going to look it up, I'm certainly not. People don't care. They just don't care. So with that said, I think we are bringing this home. Oh, yeah, speaking of stories like that, we got to talk about Judgment Day and a little funny little tidbit I got to share with you. We've brought this up before. Have you noticed the last couple of weeks that suddenly came out of nowhere that CM Punk, Hangman Page was supposed to win and CM Punk pulled the political power, whatever, and CM Punk, you know, changed it so he was going to win. And it's, remember all that nonsense? We had a conversation even Wednesday, just another example, that whenever something comes out that could look negative towards anybody in the Elite, people in the office, Tony Khan, AEW, Hangman Page, whoever you want, there'll always be a journalist to come out there with a retaliation, something that totally is intended to negate what is being thrown around there. And that's done intentionally because these EVPs and the people that work in the back, they throw the crumbs to the journalists. Listen, you know, you got to put this out there. Put this out there that, oh, this, that. So over the last couple of weeks, there's been this push that CM Punk, oh, yeah, he said that the title was never about him, but he changed the outcome of what him and I'm sure you read that the last couple of weeks. Do you know that those very same places that put up that bullshit, clickbait, fake news story are now reporting the opposite? They're now actually claiming that it was not true. They put out the fake story, and now they're putting out that, oh, the story was false. They're the ones that created the bullshit in the first place. You create the bullshit does its damage, and then you have nothing to back it up. And you know, I think it was Will Washington that brought up a very good point Wednesday or Thursday. He said, you know, not for nothing, this is the reason why CM Punk flipped out. This is why he went against that reporter and the Elite and everything else. It's shit like this. This is why he fucking flipped out. And we're getting it again. Again, the same people that put the bullshit out there are now acting like they didn't put the bullshit out there. They're saying, oh, the update, you know, this is incorrect, not true. You're the motherfucker that put it out wrong in the first place. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to finish with one more thing tonight. I'll give you Rampage results. Claudio and Willie Uta over the Dark Order, Aussie Open, and Top Flight. Riho over Emi Sakura. Powerhouse Hobbs over Serpentico and Dustin Rhodes and Keith Lee over Parker Boudreaux and Swerve Strickland. As of right now, Jade Cargill does not have a match at Revolution. I haven't heard anything about injury. I wonder if she's just going to go out there and issue an open challenge. If anybody in the back wants to have a match, I think maybe Riho shows up and she beats Riho. I'm just trying to, like, because few of you asked me, like, what is Jade Cargill doing? You know, that's what I think could happen. Judgment Day. Judgment Day. They have a little dilemma. I don't know if you caught on to it. Finn Balor is doing some media for WrestleMania. And Finn Balor, talking about Judgment Day, Finn Balor is saying that they are looking to expand at WrestleMania, that they want to add people to Judgment Day. Well, my friends, there is a little bit of a dilemma going on that no one has talked about, and I'm be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that these bullshit news sites haven't thrown it out there, because you know that everybody would be talking about it, and everybody would be cutting and pasting it. So if you want to call it sausage, let's call it sausage. So this way, when the other places do start throwing this out there, it'd be like, ah, see, gotcha. Check this out. There is rumblings that Finn Balor wanting to expand Judgment Day at WrestleMania, we may actually be getting the opposite soon. A lot of people haven't thought about it, but if Rhea Ripley does defeat Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley is a SmackDown Women's Champion. Rhea Ripley will remain on SmackDown, which means that Damian Priest and Finn Balor will be on Raw. Ray, I'll answer your comment in a minute about Sonya. Let me just finish this with Judgment Day. So, and for those that are wondering, there's two ways they could go with this. Dominic could be devastated that Mammy is on SmackDown and he is a Raw guy. Because remember, they moved to Raw way back when. And then recently, who got moved to Raw? Not Madcap Moss. Rick Boogs. Rick Boogs got moved to Raw. Wasn't he a SmackDown guy? But anyway, the point is that if Rhea Ripley beats Charlotte Flair for the Women's Championship, and a lot of people, the odds are in her favor that she is the favorite to win this, she remains on SmackDown. Finn Balor and Damian Priest remain on Raw. Dominic Mysterio, wherever Mommy goes, you know, I go. So Dominic Mysterio could follow Rhea Ripley, remain on SmackDown. Now, yes, the Judgment Day could still be a faction, even with two on Raw and two on SmackDown. But, you know, and yes, that rule that Raw people could only be on SmackDown four times a year and vice versa, that's no longer in effect. But the fact is that we could end up with Rhea Ripley permanently on SmackDown, and Dominic Mysterio goes wherever Mammy goes. Dominic Mysterio would remain on SmackDown, and then you would continue the feud of him versus Rey Mysterio. You don't necessarily need Dominic on SmackDown to continue that, because we got Backlash coming up, and they removed the WrestleMania term because not every feud has to have WrestleMania implications. That's why if Roman Reigns does not wrestle at Backlash, that's why they removed the WrestleMania reference. You know, because if it's WrestleMania Backlash, Roman Reigns is entitled, deserves a, you know, rematch. And as of right now, there's nothing to lead that Roman Reigns is going to wrestle at Backlash. So something to think about, that we may end up after WrestleMania, Finn Balor and Damian Priest by themselves on Raw, Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio on SmackDown. So, hype. I totally believe Cody Rhodes is beating Roman Reigns. I think you might have misunderstood what I said. Roman Reigns is not set to be at Backlash. So Cody Rhodes, you know, will be there with championships and with a new likely opponent. Who that opponent is, we don't know. You know, people think he's going to start feuding with Gunther. But that would be an interesting shift to go from the Bloodline and Cody to Cody and Gunther out of nowhere. So that could happen in Saudi Arabia, because let's finish with Goldberg. Let's finish with Goldberg. Goldberg believes that he is owed one final match in WWE, a retirement match. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated, and, you know, he put over Roman Reigns, and he said he made a deal with the devil. He did his job. Now they owe me a retirement match. So, at 56 years old, do you think Goldberg should be given an official retirement match in WWE? My honest opinion is yes. Yes. Just like Brock Lesnar versus Omos at WrestleMania, people are getting angry, triggered, irate over a match that's probably going to last 5 minutes. We have two nights of WrestleMania, probably 10 hours of content when you include pre-shows and everything else. And people are getting triggered over 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And we may end up seeing a turn with Omos as well. Remember what we talked about earlier in the week. But the thing is with Goldberg is, you know, I was a fan of Goldberg growing up. Yeah, some of what Goldberg did when he returned, some of it was great. And some of it was less to be desired. Goldberg still looks amazing for his age. He came back. He wanted his son to see him wrestle live. And that is admirable. MVP, you know, same thing. And a lot of wrestlers now with having kids, they want to have their children experience live what their parents could do. I think Goldberg truly is and deserves a retirement match. And I say it like this, and I don't mean to be cold, but I look at it like this. If you give Goldberg a retirement match, that's it. There is a period at the end of the sentence. There is no longer a comma. There is no longer a semicolon. There is a period. There is an exclamation point. You give him the retirement match. If you are not interested in seeing Goldberg have a retirement match in WWE, go to the store. Go make some Hot Pockets. Go take a shit. Go walk your dog. Go check your text messages. You know, go to the ice cream truck outside your house. You know what I mean? Go make some popcorn. Just walk away from your TV for 10 minutes. And it's over. That's it. To write these passionates, you know, like, yo, you rot, you suck, and this and that, like, just give him the retirement match. Because you know once it's over, okay, we got that out of the way. That's it. It's over. Now, and again, I'm not trying to be cold, but I'm just trying to show people that for the people that are totally against it, you know, maybe this will change your mind. Yeah, let him have one more match. You know, I'll go do something else for 10 minutes. I'll go play a game. And his retirement match is over. And now we don't have to have this conversation anymore. That's it. Easy. Easy peasy. Now, where should it happen? Oh, that's simple. They're doing King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. Remember 2 weeks ago we had that discussion that, you know, like I wondered if an event could happen on a weekend in Saudi Arabia because I don't know, you know, with their religious observances, maybe you can't do something like that on the weekends. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Well, apparently King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring is happening in Saudi Arabia. And maybe because of the time difference, it may actually be, you know, I don't know if it's a Friday or a Monday. I don't know. But all I know is that for us, it's going to air live on the weekend. Put the Goldberg retirement match on there. I think that is a good selling point for Saudi Arabia. Plus, you know that crowd in Saudi Arabia won't turn on the guy. He could have his retirement match. It is a selling point for the Crown Prince. Not only will we give you King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring, we will give you Goldberg's last ever match in wrestling.
Oh, I like that. Goldberg, last match, retires here. Tell me more.
The only problem is, who does he face? Who does he face? That is what we have to think about. Who does he face? So, I don't know. You tell me what you think, and we will continue this discussion, at another time. I want to give a special shout out to Ray's Place. Is it Ray's Place? No, it's Ray's Peace. Ray's Peace. Oh, peace as in, yeah, I got a peace. About the Sonya gun comment earlier, just knowing she can protect herself is attractive to me. Just cleaning that up. Hey, listen, you know, strength is attractive. And thank you for the five spot, by the way. You know, I know what you mean by that. Strength, power, confidence, protection. You know, like somebody, you know, that yes, that is a good trait to have. I think Sonya Deville could beat the shit out of me. You know what I mean? So, you know, like if you see Dominic hide behind Rhea, you know, it you believe it. Listen, there is a video on Twitter right now of Dominic Mysterio working out. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. It's like 2 minutes. You'll laugh. He's doing curls. I kid you not, there might be 2 pounds of weights on each curl. It is the smallest donut you could find. It is the smallest, you know, weight you could find. And he's doing this, and he's struggling. And he's wearing slippers with white socks, something my grandfather used to do. I caught myself doing it one time in Florida. I answered the door to get room service. I looked down and I have slippers and white socks on. I'm like, oh, fucking no. I pulled those socks off, pulled them off. But Dominic is shown doing curls and he's struggling. He's like, ugh. And it's literally like 2 pounds of weights. I think Sheamus and Drew McIntyre show up and it's comedy gold. But that's the thing, you know, like having Dominic like hiding behind Rhea, you know, you believe it. You think Rhea legitimately could kick my ass or kick your ass. And Sonya Deville, you know, having that protection, the strength and the confidence, those are positive traits. I'll say this, you know, it kind of sucks that, you know, she feels the need to carry a gun because of what happened, you know. And listen, I'm not saying that she shouldn't carry a gun or doesn't have the right to carry a gun. That's not what I'm saying. It's not about a gun thing. It's just the fact that it sucks that you know that the likely reason why she got the gun is because of the psycho in Florida. But listen, I know what you mean about the attraction. Listen, when we see Mercedes Moné, Sasha Banks in that movie, you know, listen, when those fight scenes, there's a couple of more clips that have surfaced online. You know, the what she's wearing and she's fucking beating the shit out of a guy, that looks sexy. It looks sexy for a lot of people. You know, showing that strength can be sexy. So, yeah, ex-condom. Ex-condom. I'm telling you, man, the guy is killing it. He is killing it. Dominic versus Rey is going to have so much heat at WrestleMania. In fact, someone sent me an autographed Dominic Mysterio card that we're going to be giving away soon. So maybe we'll give it away the week of WrestleMania or maybe the week before or something. But by the way, Monday, I have two Focos unboxings. I got two big boxes of Foco, and they're bigger than the original ones. You know, you see the ones in the background we unbox live, but they sent me two giant boxes like this, and I'm wondering if there's more than one item in there. If there are multiple pieces, then we'll give away a couple on Monday for everyone who is live. We'll probably do like a Raw ratings contest. We haven't done one of those in a while, but I'm going to unbox those live on Monday. So I got a question. Rocky Red says, when will I upload this week's Patreon episode? Patreon is always up there. My Patreon episode's been there since Tuesday. Kevin's has been there since Thursday. So I don't know what you mean by this week's Patreon. Everything is up there. Everything is up there. But before I go off the air, for those that are still live, I got a question. What do you want tomorrow for the show? Do you want a sit-down episode as usual at 8 o'clock? Or do you want instead an AEW Revolution recap at around midnight? I'm very, very curious to see. You know, for those that are live, you choose right now. Majority wins. Just quickly in the chat, if you don't mind, take a couple of seconds, just write down Revolution or sit down. because I want to watch Revolution. I just, you know, like the Iron Man match is going to be awesome, but the other matches, you know, like I think they added like the Lucha Bros and Mark Briscoe. They're going to be taking on, oh God, I think it's like, isn't it Tony Nese? And I don't know. It just felt like randomly put together. But no, we're definitely not doing a watch along because the watch along would be 4 hours and then there's no recap afterwards. So definitely no watch along. So majority of you are saying sit down. In fact, it's almost 100%. So tomorrow night at 8:05, I'll be right here for the sit down and we'll do that. And I'll talk about Revolution a little bit on Wednesday. You know, I'll give you my overall thoughts as far as what we saw and we'll see what the ramifications are as a result. We'll see who ends up being Powerhouse Hobbs' opponent on Wednesday for the TNT Championship. And, yeah, I don't think we really should. I don't think doing a recap Sunday night is absolutely needed. I know everybody and their mothers. Plus, you want to know something? I haven't watched any of those media scrums afterwards. I haven't watched one live yet because we were always here doing recaps. So I think I'm going to watch it, and I think I'm going to cap it too. And if anything really, really interesting goes down, even if it's goofy, then I'll record it. We could share the audio. Expect more audio clips to be played on these shows online. Expect more audio. We definitely could play clips from the scrum. There's a few things that actually I was told that I can do here that I haven't taken advantage of in the past. So, all right, one last thing before we go. As far as Drew and Sheamus, a couple of you asking a few different questions and about Drew and Sheamus splitting after coming together as a team, this is just a hype-up mania. And when we were talking earlier about what happened on SmackDown, Sheamus is on social media now, and instead of writing banger after banger after banger, he's writing backstabbing bastard after backstabbing bastard after backstabbing bastard. You have to have suspension and disbelief that Sheamus and Drew McIntyre are going to go against each other because their goal is the same, to become the Intercontinental Champion. Once WrestleMania is over, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre will be fine. You know, when two friends are vying for the same championship, you know, it's almost like, it's a bad example, but here, Toxic Attraction against Roxanne Perez. Like, we knew in January that Toxic Attraction was splitting up. We wrote it online, sausage, cooked, done. But when it was announced that both Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, in fact, the outcome of the five-way next Friday is probably going to be similar. But instead, you know, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane, they fell on the floor together. So they both got the match against Roxanne Perez. So they had to tease that JC Jane and Gigi Dolin were going to go against each other because in the end, they want to be women's champion. Same template here. If you're going to have a three-way of Sheamus versus Drew versus Gunther, you have to have that suspension of disbelief that the championship is bigger, that that's what everybody wants. So Sheamus and Drew have to lock hands and fight. So that's what they're doing right now. They're just trying to create tension because you don't want them going in there and like, oh, you win it. No, 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 you win it. No, 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 you win it. You know, you try. You know, no, you want them to be like, motherfucker, you know, I'm winning this. You're not. At the end, all will be good between those two guys. There's so much more that they could do with Drew and Sheamus. And it's fun. Their shit has been fun. You know, the Viking Raiders stuff was tolerable, but there's so much more they can do. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you're going to tune into AEW Revolution, definitely check it out. And raise peace. Thank you again for the five spot, my friend. Thank you. If you are going to be online tomorrow night at 8 o'clock and not watching Revolution, or maybe you're watching Revolution in the background and you want to, you know, check out the show here, I will be live at 8:05 p.m. My phone is on blast right now. My wife probably thinks, she's not here, she's actually at a parent's house, but I got to go pick her up. She probably thinks that the show is over, right? Because I'm usually done within 90 minutes. Today was a little bit longer, but if you're around tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Join me. I'll be live for the sit-down. It'll be straight up Q&A. You know, whatever you want me to talk about, we will talk about. And it should be a fun show. So, everyone, have a good one. All the best.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.